in worship. And the first one was Andrew. Andrew recently became a pilot, qualified for his private pilot license. But funny enough, the Lord actually highlighted you in worship and he showed me a train. So don't change career paths. But the Lord showed me this freight train and there were three very strong, powerful engines at the front of a very, very long freight train carrying hundreds of cars. And it was going through beautiful fields, stunning parts of South Africa, in through the cities. It would stop, it would offload some of its cargo and then load some new cargo up. And I just really felt for you, you're a high-capacity man. And you don't realize it. You don't realize how high-capacity you are. You think you're just a single steam engine cruising along, just making short trips here and there, you know, just an average life. But the Lord says you have a great capacity and you are called to carry the anointing throughout all parts of the nations. Not just short little trips, not just an average life. There's greatness over you. And you want, it's like when you see a freight train like that, you know, if you're driving along and the crossing's ahead of you and you see a freight train coming like that, you want to get ahead of it because you're going to be waiting there a long time because there's so much that it's carrying. You are carrying a lot, my friend. There is a strong anointing on your life. There's a very big capacity over your life. And the Lord wants to release over you a wisdom to carry that strategy and carry that anointing for all your days. So bless you, my brew. Bless you. Sure. Beautiful. And then Lou, the Lord highlighted you, Lou, to me during worship. I don't know if I've prophesied over this before, but I feel like I have. You have a David heart. You have a pure heart. Very pure heart. And it's the heart of David. And you write. You write in your journal a lot, just like David used to write in the Psalms. And I feel like you need to do that more. You haven't done it recently, and the Lord just wanted to encourage you in your creative writing. It's something you need to do a little bit more often. You need to be a bit more serious about it, because it's a talent that the Lord's given you, and he's going to use it to influence the world. It may not necessarily be in writing Psalms or prophetic books, but it could be just any kind of writing, journalism, anything like that. I just really feel there's an anointing on you to write from this place of purity. Very pure heart, very close relationship with God. And also I feel like you question your relationship with God. And the Lord says, I'm right here. You hear my voice. Don't doubt. Don't doubt your ability to hear my voice. So bless you, Lou. Sure. Candace, do you have any prophetic words? Don't lie. Just checking. If you do, okay, giving you a chance, okay. Sure. Just at the back, that lady over there at the back. That one over there, just in front of you, but I can see you are ready for something. So you just hijacked a prophetic word. So watch this. This is how you hijack a prophetic word. I had a word for you, and the Lord wants to give you a word. But first, I want to prophesy over you. I just feel like you're a leader. You have leadership over you. Leadership is all over you. But some things have happened in the past where you haven't been recognized in that leadership, in that potential, in the gifting of leadership, and it's hurt you. It's hurt your ability to lead. It's hurt your ability, you doubt yourself because of those things that have happened. And the Lord wants to emphasize and remind you tonight, you are a leader. You lead people. People follow you. People listen to you. You're also a strategist. I just feel the word strategy over you. People will come to you for strategy. And I just want to pray over you right now. What's your name? Zianda, I'm prophesying over her. How's this? This is funny, eh? Okay, so I'm prophesying over you. Zianda, I'm coming for you, okay? All right, you're a leader. What's your name? Louise. Hey, double Lou's. Are there any more Louises in the house? Because you guys are getting prophesied over tonight. Louise is leadership over you. And I feel the word strategy. And there's stuff that's happened in the past where you've been hurt and you've doubted your ability to lead. But the Lord says you are a leader. You're anointed to lead. There's capacity on you to lead. And the Lord has given you strategy and answers to give to people and lead people into situations which are going to break open. Specifically, I feel the financial realm. I feel in the financial realm, you're going to be able to lead people and strategize solutions in businesses. And I just want to pray over you, Louise, right now. So why don't you just receive. Father, we lift up Louise right now. I bless her. I just want to break off every single lie that the enemy has shot at her. I pull every arrow of lies out right now in Jesus' name. And I declare tonight freedom from the hurts of the past in Jesus' name. Lord, that she would lead strongly, she would lead with boldness. In the business realm, she would lead with strategy. You would download strategy. I feel the Lord is downloading strategy over you, Louise. The Lord is downloading strategy for some very specific things, business ideas. The Lord is downloading strategy right now. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're downloading strategy. We just bless her. We honor her tonight. Rise up. Louise, I tell you to rise up and step into the mantle which is over your life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Zianda, what I saw over you when I first saw you was a rainbow. And I just feel like the promises of God are so bright over you. And the Lord wants to remind you tonight what those promises are. I feel some stuff was spoken over you as a young child. Your parents spoke some stuff over you. Your family have recognized things. People have prophesied over you. But the Lord wants to remind you of the promises that are over your life. And the Lord has called you to be a successful woman. The Lord has called you to have a loving man. I know I'm always careful where to go when it comes to relationships and specific things like that. But I just felt like the Lord wants to remind you that he wants to bless you with a loving man. And if you have a man right now or you are married to a husband, whatever, that man is a loving man. And if he's not, he's going to be a loving man. Because the promises of God over your life are yes and amen. You will walk in health. Some stuff happened in your family, your family lineage. Things like diabetes, things like that. And you've always questioned, am I going to get those things? The Lord says, no, you will walk in health all the days of your life. You will have children. They will be beautiful children. They will be very successful children. They're going to be nation shakers. They're going to be world leaders. The promises of God over your life, Zianda, are yes and amen. There's a rainbow shining over you right now. The glory of God is shining on you right now, Zianda. You also have a hungry heart. I can see you've got a hungry heart for the Lord. The Lord wants to open up some new stuff for you, some new revelation over your life. So get ready, girl. Make some time in your week to hear from God because he wants to open up some new revelation for you. Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. Dave, do you have anything? Not. Candace? Just checking again. Okay, well, I'm going to leave it there in terms of prophetic words. Just felt like the Lord wanted to release some of that over some of you. So receive it. And if you didn't get a prophetic word, why don't you just raise your hands right now to receive something? Father, I release prophetic words over every single one of these people. Lord, every prophetic word that I've shared, that Dave has shared, that has been shared tonight, I give them to your people. to your children, I give them. I release them over your people now in Jesus' name. Take them. Take what is yours. Take your inheritance tonight. Amen. Yes, Michelle. Yes, yes, yeah. You may. Yeah. Go for it.
I just feel tonight that for all of you, I saw a picture and you saw a flame in the horizon and you're looking up and it was on a long log. In the middle of the log was a flame. And you're all staring at this flame. And remember that when something catches a light, it can only get bigger because fire only gets bigger. And as you're staring at the log, all of you, the log started rolling forward. And as it's rolling forward, you saw that the whole log actually was on flame, on fire. And it started rolling towards you faster and faster and faster and faster. And I said, Lord, what are you showing me here? And he just said that some of you feel that you've got a little burning, a little desire, a little, you can just feel the Holy Spirit a little bit. And God said, hold on, because this place is going to catch fire and it's not going to stop.
Come on. Come on. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Michelle. Woo. Okay. Right. You guys ready for the word now? Yeah. Okay. We're going to wrap up the series. We've been reading The Power of Right Believing, Seven Keys to Freedom from Fear, Guilt, and Addiction. And tonight I'm wrapping up with the very final chapter, Find Rest in the Father's Love for You. And so that's the title of my sermon tonight. It's the very last chapter, Find Rest in the Father's Love for You. And I want to start off by reminding you about the parable of the hidden treasure. Who remembers the parable of the hidden treasure? Who knows the parable of the hidden treasure, right? Now, we all know the story where a man is in a field and he finds this treasure hidden under the ground of this field. And what he does is he wants to buy this field. He obviously, think about it, there's obviously so much treasure under the ground that he knows that if he starts digging, people are going to notice. And they're going to be like, how's this guy digging? You know? Think about it. Why would he go and buy the field if he could just quickly dig it up right there and then? Oh, it's a little diamond. You know, I just quick dig it up, put it in my tunic or whatever they wore back then, and off he went with his diamond. No, it was obviously so much treasure and so big that he had to go and buy the field in order to get the treasure. And then the man went and he sold everything he owned. Do you know what happened? Think about this. He sold everything he owned. He made a plan. He was like, that field is so valuable, I need to make a plan to get that field. I don't have the capital, so I've got to sell stuff. I've just got to get rid of everything I've got. Everything, I am going to get rid of it in order to raise the finance to buy this field. And he buys the field, and he gets possession of this beautiful treasure. And then we leave it at that. But Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a man who went and bought a field, sold everything he had and bought a field for the treasure that was in it. Now, many of you may have heard that story in the context of, you got to sell everything for Jesus. You better sell everything for Jesus, because if you don't, then you might not be hot enough for heaven and Jesus might spit you out. Amen, Dave. Amen. Glad you've been listening in church. But Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man. He did not say you are like this man. He said the kingdom of God is like a man. The kingdom of God is like a man whose name is God, who sold everything he had for the most valuable thing that he saw, which was you and I. You and I were buried in the ground of corruption. We were buried in the ground of the enemy's lies. And God saw the value in us. He saw the intrinsic value in us. And he sold everything he had to buy us back. Because we handed over our rights, our title deed to the enemy. In the Garden of Eden, we handed over our title deed to the enemy, and he had control over us, which is why Jesus said things like, your father, the devil. And he said that to the Pharisees, by the way. the religious leaders of the day. How many people are there on Christian media whose father is the devil? Hopefully not a lot. But I'm just saying. That's what... The Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. You know, the big guys that we look up to today, those were who the Pharisees were. And Jesus called them children of the devil. Why? Because they were operating under the system of the enemy, of the demonic realm. And he had rights to them because we handed over the title deed right back in the Garden of Eden. And God saw our value and he bought us back. He paid everything he had to buy us back. And he got the title deed. Now here's the thing. If that treasure in the garden or in this field is buried underground, nobody's seen it, this guy just happened to come across it, however he did, right? If that treasure was diamonds and gold, how many of you know the value of that treasure did not change despite the fact that A, you couldn't see it, and B, it was probably very dirty? The value of that field was actually worth more than what that man probably paid for it, right? Because people didn't know that the treasure was there. I want you to think about this, church. If the owner of that field knew there was treasure, he wouldn't have sold the field. He'd be like, no, I'm not selling this to you. So that guy saw an opportunity, and he paid everything he had to get that field, and he got more value than what he paid for it. And yet he paid everything he had. Jesus paid everything he had to get us, and he got more value than what he paid for. Isn't that awesome? God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who inspired the amazing DVD series by Louis Giglio, who is not a child of the devil, by the way, called Indescribable, and showed us all those stars. The God who created those stars sold everything he had for you and I, and he got more value than what he paid for it. Think about that. So how many of you know that the gold and the diamonds inside the ground did not change their value despite the fact you couldn't see them and despite the fact they were very dirty? Why? Because what gave those items their value was their substance, what they are made of, their chemical makeup, gold, platinum, silver, sapphires, diamonds. You can take a big lump of gold, it doesn't matter what it looks like. That is valuable by its substance. It could be the most beautiful gold watch, and then you take it to a jeweler and he measures it and he tests it and he's like, this is worth nothing because it's not actually gold. But you could take a black chunky rock with a bit of sparkles on it and take it to a jeweler or whatever these guys are, a smelter, I don't know what you call these people, and he could say, this is worth $1,000. It looks pathetic, but it's not what it looks like that gives it its value. It's the substance. And so I want to start off this evening's message by reminding you how valuable you are. Because when you know how valuable you are, you will rest and not try and prove to people your value. Because you know your value. You will act as a person of value, of royalty, not as someone without any self-worth. The greatest self-worth motivational messages and philosophies that are in the bookshops and on Oprah Winfrey TV channel and all of these places, the greatest messages and philosophies are all inspired by the gospel. I'll guarantee you they find their root over hundreds of years back to the gospel. Because it's the gospel that gives man his value. When you know your value, when you know how much you're worth, not by what you look like, not by your appearance, not by what you do, but your intrinsic value, when you know who you really are, it will change the way you live. And so tonight, find rest in the Father's love for you. What does that have to do with finding rest in the Father's love. Well, you have to stop trying to prove yourself. You need to rest in your value. You need to rest in who God created you to be. You know, the scripture tells us that we have been hewn, I don't know how you pronounce that word, H-E-W-N, hewn from the same rock as God. The same mine where platinum, Anglo-platinum, Anglo-plats, whatever these mining companies are, the same mine where these guys dig out the rock and they make their billions of dollars. You come from the same mine, the same rock face as God himself. That is your intrinsic DNA. When the scripture says that you are made in the image of God, you really are made of the same substance. Now, Hebrews 4, 9 says, you could turn there if you want. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Hebrews 4, verse 9. And I don't have verses on the screen. So if you don't have your Bibles, just listen, okay? Or get saved. Yes, correct. Good one, Dave. Thanks. Thanks for the encouragement. I'm going to ask you to do the altar call afterwards, okay? Okay, no, you're not doing the altar call. Never mind. Okay, you guys there. Hebrews 4, verse 9. And it says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Their example of disobedience being the Israelites. The context of that story is the Israelites in the desert who disobeyed the promises of God. And we've heard some people have been prophesied over some promises tonight. And the Israelites had been promised that they would inherit the land of Canaan. They would inherit the land flowing with milk and honey. And the Lord instructed the Israelites to send spies into the land just to go and assess, to go and strategize the way forward. And so the 12 spies go in, they look at it, and 10 of the spies start shaking in their boots. These guys are too big for us. And they run back and they cry to Moses. And they cry to Joshua, we'll never make it. We'll never make it, Moses. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. We're too small. They're too big. We won't do it. But God promised you will do it. You will inherit the land. I have promised you to do it. And so their disbelief was disobeying the promises of God. And so what this verse is saying in Hebrews 4, it's saying you need to make an effort to enter the rest of the promises of God. Don't be like the Israelites who disobeyed the promises of God. You need to obey the promises of God that you are blessed, that you are saved, that you are righteous, that you are the head and not the tail, that the world is your inheritance. You need to rest in those promises. And you need to believe them. Oh, but James, you don't understand. Look at how big the giants are in my life. My friend, don't be like the Israelites. You need to believe the promises of God. The promises of God are greater than the giants. Now, it's a bit of a paradox that the author says, make every effort to enter the rest of God. How do you make every effort to enter the rest? It's an oxymoron. What's the author trying to say? Well, you see, we have been so programmed by this fallen world that you have to do good in order to get good. If you do bad, you're going to get bad. And we've been so programmed into this religious system that it actually requires a bit of effort to rest. It actually requires a bit of focus, a little bit of energy, a little bit of faith to enter into the rest of God's promises. To stop stressing. How many of you know it requires a bit of effort to stop stressing, to relax, to stop being so anxious? And so my encouragement tonight to you is to relax, to rest. It's going to require some meditation. You're going to have to make some time in your months, in your weeks, to meditate on the promises of God and to get the junk out, to renew your mind, to get the junk of the world's lies which have so entrapped us, to get that stuff out and to get the promises in. It's going to take a little bit of time to meditate on that stuff, to draw up declarations, to draw up promises, to write them out. Do whatever you have to do to start walking in the promises of God. Because when you do that, when you declare, when you write, when you meditate, what you're doing is you're taking hold of the promises of God. And the more you do that, you'll find that your mind and your soul start to align with your spirit. You start to line up with the promises of God, and you'll find yourself walking at rest. You start walking in rest. I'm not worried anymore. And people go like, how are you not stressed? Why aren't you stressed anymore? What? You must be so worried. Not anymore. I know that my God is for me. And who can be against me? Okay, so let's have a look at a few more of these promises. And hopefully, just as the word of God comes, faith would rise and you would find yourself recalibrating yourself. So let's look at Romans 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Okay, if you are taking notes, I do have points. I was going to throw them out because I'm so over time and I've just gone way off plan. But if you want the points, then that's great. So my first point is nothing can separate you from God's unconditional love. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from God's unconditional love. Okay, so Romans 8, 31, Paul says, what then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All things. I looked that up in the Greek. Guess what it means? All things. You got it, Donna. All things. What? God wants to graciously give you all things. It's not in the Greek, well, it's all spiritual things. It's all healing things. It's all Bible things. It's all things. It's about as plain as you can get in the Greek. What does that mean? Well, I'm just claiming it as all things. I'm claiming it as this world, the planets, the galaxies, the stars. They are mine. They are mine, and I am claiming them as a child of God. They are mine. And so right now we are living in an epoch in history where we aren't in space and we aren't in interdimensional time travel yet. So while we are on earth, I'm just claiming the things on this earth. I'm going to go out and get them. And I'm going to be like Jesus said, I'm going to be as wise as a serpent, right? I almost said a sheep in wolf's clothing or a wolf in sheep's clothing. No, I don't want to be that. Okay, I don't want to be that. But I am going to be like Jesus said, to be as gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents. It was wise as serpents. And I'm going to be crafty and I'm going to be strategic about going after the things that God has promised. I'm not going to be lazy. The rest of God is not laziness. It's not like, well, you know, let's all just sit around and, you know, have church so that the blessings will come. You know, the more we have church, the more we worship, the more people will just drive up and they'll just dump all their money in the front altar. I mean, imagine David had that. Imagine David had the same attitude. He was like, guys, don't worry. We're just going to worship, and the Amalekites are going to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. We'll just stay here and worship. No, he was like, hey boys, I want to worship. I love God. He's blessed me. He's spoken promises over me. We're going to go get the Ark of the Covenant. So here's what I'm saying to you. You have been given graciously all things, so go and get the things which have been promised to you. I'm claiming that. All things. How much will he not also graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Are you feeling condemned right now? Do you not feel good enough? Maybe you fell short at work, at school, at college. You made a mistake. No one condemns you. And if there is someone condemning you, it's a lie. Because that's what the devil does. He lies. Only the devil condemns, and he lies. So those condemning words, words of condemnation, they have no weight whatsoever. You know, I find that interesting. I've never actually noticed that until I was doing this study, until I was putting this all together. I was like, no one? I used to think there was no one part, and just said, who is he who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that. I honestly thought it said that, but it says, who is he that condemns? No one. So it's almost like Paul's like saying, he's almost disregarding the fact that the devil even exists. He's like so pathetic in Paul's mind. He's like, the devil doesn't even exist. There's no one that condemns. There is no one. And then John corrects him and he's like, hey, Paul, the accuser of the brethren is the devil. Okay. Oh, thanks. Oh, thanks, John. Appreciate that. But that's how insignificant Satan is in Paul's mind. No one. It's like Smith Wigglesworth wakes up in the middle of the night, feels a dark, dark presence. And he wakes up and he looks and he can see in the corner of his room a figure standing there. And he knows, he just knows, intrinsically he knows it's Satan himself, Lucifer himself. And he goes, oh, it's just you. And he rolls back over and goes to sleep. That man knew who he was and he knew who the devil was. You ain't got nothing on me because I am a walking victory. Amen. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Excuse me. Now, how many of you, be honest with me. How many of you read that and go, why is that in that passage? That part that says, for your sake we face death all day long, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Raise your hand if you honestly think, why is that in there? Okay, Megan, one person's honest with me. Thank you. I'm with you, by the way. Okay, oh, there we go. We've got a few more. Thank you. See, just takes one. Thank you very much. Gary, can you give me just a touch more volume as my vocal cords slowly but surely start to say no, James? I'll just turn the volume up a bit more and say yes. So I actually read where that passage is quoted from in Psalms 44, it is. And actually what it is, it's when the Israelites, not too much, sorry, I'm like having a sound session here, sorry about that. But it's when the Israelites were getting persecuted, David was at war with all the nations around him, and things just weren't going right. And he was like, there's so much going down, there's so much bad stuff happening, there's so much persecution that we are like sheep led to the slaughter. That's how much bad stuff is going. But David goes on to praise God. So what Paul, why Paul is quoting that is he's like, shall trouble or hardship or persecution, then he quotes this and he's like, remember David. Look what he quoted, but look where he ended up. God was with David. Look at what he faced. He felt like he was being considered a sheep to be slaughtered. That's how much persecution he felt. But look at him. He ended up being the most successful man in Israel's history. So you might feel right now, my friend, you might feel the persecutions are too great. The stuff I'm going through is too difficult. My hardships are too intense. I will not make it through. My friend, do not believe that lie. You will make it through. You will make it through because God is with you. Who can be against you? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I just want to run through the things that cannot separate you from the love of God. Trouble. Are you going through trouble? The love of God's still there. Hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness. Do you feel shame? God still loves you. Danger. Are you in danger? God still loves you. Sword. Death, life, angels. Interesting that he would quote angels. Demons, the present, or the future. I like how he says the present or the future. He doesn't say the past. Because so many of us are so focusing on the future, looking ahead, we're like, oh my gosh, am I going to make it? Am I going to be all right? But God's saying, I still love you. Don't look to the future. I am with you and I love you. The future's not going to separate my love for you. Any powers, height nor depth, in other words, you cannot measure the love of God. And just in case you still don't get it, nothing in all creation, nothing can separate you from God's love for you. Now, I love how there are no disclaimers when it comes to the love of God. There's no like little clauses that say, but if you don't obey, if you don't read your Bible at least once a week, if you don't pray, if you don't walk like Jesus walked, if you don't, then you are disqualified. There's no disclaimers. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. There are no disclaimers in this promise, church. Amen? Right. So we'll wrap it up with the last 2 points here. Secondly, when you know your value, you will walk in victory. When you know your value, you will walk in victory. The enemy has no hold over people who know their Father's love for them. The more you know how much God loves you, the less the enemy has a hold on you. If Adam and Eve had believed in God's love for them, the devil would not have been successful in tempting them. I just want to say, kids, children who are secure in their parents' love for them are able to say no to all kinds of temptations. The vacuum in their lives is already fulfilled. They don't have to do things to win the approval of their friends because their security and identity is in their parents' love for them. In the same way, the more you rest in God's love for you, the more your security and identity is in that you don't need approval from anywhere else or anything else to fill that void. And just on that note, this is why it's so important that our kids know that we love them. You know, it's one thing that you can love your kids. I have no doubt that every parent loves their children. But they have to know that you love them. What are you doing to show that you love your kids? And I would say the two most important things, it's just a side note for free, by the way. The two most important things that you can give your children are your words and your time. Dave, not everyone is at the parental stage where your kids are teenagers and all they want is KFC. Some people have little kids like me where words and time are the essentials, okay? Okay, and thirdly, my third and final point is this. You are beloved to the Father and highly favored before you have done a single thing. You are beloved to the Father and highly favored before you have done a thing. In Matthew 3 and 4, Jesus gets baptized, and we did touch on it last week in Corinne's sermon. But Jesus gets baptized, and the Father says, he speaks from heaven. The heavens open, and the Father speaks from heaven, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." He didn't do a single miracle. He hadn't done a single act of service, any public act of ministry yet, nothing to prove himself to God, and God said, "I am well pleased with my Son." He then goes out into the desert. The enemy tempts him, and he says, "If you are the Son of God," I love that. He doesn't say, if you are the beloved Son of God," he just drops it completely because the devil doesn't understand being in the beloved. "If you are the Son of God, then you need to do this. Turn this stone into bread, if you really are. Show that you're the Son of God." And I tell you what, if there's anything in your Christian life where you need to prove that you are successful, you need to prove that you are a walking miracle maker, you need to prove yourself as a Christian, that is from the enemy's camp. Because you don't have to do a thing to prove God's love for you and God's pleasure over you. And you know what Jesus' response was? "Man shall not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God." And I love this revelation that Joseph Prince had. God spoke to Joseph Prince about this, and he said, "Go and look at the last time I spoke from my mouth." After Jesus said that, "Go and look at the last time I spoke from my mouth." It was one chapter earlier. And the last time God spoke with his mouth, it was, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Man shall not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Friends, we are sustained by the fact that God loves us and the fact that he is well pleased with us. When we dwell on that, when we live on that, it sustains us, it gives us life, it gives us vitality, it gives us supernatural energy to live beyond what we can live in the physical. And so I'm going to close with this declaration. He puts this declaration in there. So just that first one-liner, Andrew, I want us all to say this together. Actually, can you change the last word? "Deeply blessed." It should be "deeply loved." "I am highly favored, greatly blessed, and deeply loved." Joseph Prince puts this in his book, and he says, "Place your hand over your heart and declare this every day. Declare it often so that you believe it." Let's declare it together. "I am highly favored, greatly blessed, and deeply loved." Let's say it again. "I am highly favored, greatly blessed, and deeply loved." Friends, the more you know that, the more you'll be able to walk in victory. And so, won't you stand? We're going to end with another declaration. I made a declaration of my own. Just to take all this that we've preached over the last few weeks and declare it over every single one of us, over our families, over our children, over our lives, over our finances, over our businesses. So let's declare this together. I am the beloved of the Almighty. Can you guys see that from over there? All the way over there? Can you? Okay. Just follow me, okay? Let's start again. I am the beloved of Almighty God. He is my Father, and He loves me dearly. There is no depth He did not go, no height He did not reach to show His love for me. I will walk in the sunbeam of His love all my days. His love and grace will always be at the forefront of my mind, and I will ever be aware of His surrounding presence. Because He loves me, I am intrinsically valuable, I am victorious, and my life will reflect the victory of more than a conqueror. My family and I are blessed, healthy, and happy because Jesus went to the cross for us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus a shout. Let's give Him a praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, what an awesome series. We're going to have some Q&As next week. So if you have any questions coming out of the last 5 weeks, bring them on a piece of paper. We'll do what we did last time.